Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and this is a show about forgiveness. You know, we all like to think that we can forgive and pay a lot of lip service to it. And reading this new book, I've found that I don't know how many people really know how to forgive. So to talk about forgiveness, I've invited the author of a book called Unconditional Forgiveness, Mary Hayes Greco, to be on the show. Mary, welcome.
Good morning, Peter.
Thanks for being on Energy Stew. I'm so glad that we can talk about forgiveness because your book really shows me a lot that we need to know about it because I don't think people understand. You know, it's easy to pay lip service to it. Oh, yeah, I forgive. Oh, yeah, I forgive. And I don't know that it makes a difference.
I agree. I think a lot of people want to forgive, and they feel like they have forgiven, like you said, with lip service. They said, okay, I'm over it. I forgive you. But in fact, they find that the next time they see that person or they think about that person, there's this kind of low-grade annoyance or stress or a close-off, if you will, in the heart center that you aren't really open to this person. And if you have enough hurts stacked up inside you, you're not really open to life. So we have to do forgiveness so that we can really, really open up all the jets, all the parts of our being and love life and enjoy it and see the good in it every moment.
Well, one thing, there's a lot of value in your book, but one aspect of it that I really appreciated is that you talk about so many different issues that we need to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure that so many people say, yeah, forgiveness is good, but they don't know what the problem that I have. They don't know what I need to forgive. It's different than what you need to forgive. You can do it.
Right. My situation is special. My situation is different. My situation is uniquely unjust and unfair. And I'm just not going to let go of this until someone really validates my situation.
Right. Yeah. I need to be right about this because this other person is really wrong.
They're so wrong. And I'm not going to hold on to this until I get some kind of a memo from the universe that says, yes, you're right. And they're wrong. And
right. But let's
really
be
sorry.
Let's be clear. They might be very wrong.
Right.
I mean, the other person really might be doing dastardly deeds.
They might be very, very, very bad in their actions,
right,
and wrong and unjust and immoral and clueless and stupid. And we do see that all around us all the time. And
yeah.
We don't have control over other people's consciousness. And forgiveness really is a tool of self-mastery for people who are on a path of consciousness and who mean business about becoming whole and becoming free. And so it's really worth our while to find out, well, what is forgiveness and did I do it and how do I know and who's still on my short list of people that I'm harboring some hate and resentment for, because that's actually closing me down a little bit.
And even sometimes forgiveness can change the other person dramatically.
Well, I have to say, we don't want to do forgiveness in the hopes that they will change. That's not the correct way
right,
to do it.
Right, but it does happen.
In fact, there is some kind of mysterious ripple effect that seems to go out energetically when one person really goes deep into forgiveness and changes the energy inside them. In a strange, mysterious way, immediately the other person's dance with you starts changing too. And I've just heard so many, many, many little miracle stories about how, well, I forgave so-and-so, and you know what? They called me up that night, and they were really nice. Or I forgave my mother, and she called me up, and she hasn't called me for 6 months, and she apologized for something. And there's something that happens between us on an unconscious level that does start to rectify situations.
Right, but that's not necessarily the conscious approach to it, because
that's not why to do it.
It might not happen.
It might not happen. You might even get more tested by the person. They may test you even more. And so you're really doing forgiveness to get right with yourself and right with them in kind of a very large sense and right with life.
Well, what I love is the process, that it's not words, it's not lip service. It's actually a series of steps that you list in the book and go through each one. You handhold your readers through the process with examples in a way that it makes it really grounded.
Mm-hmm. It's a method.
It's a method.
And I really think that forgiveness is a life skill and a health habit. And, you know, we didn't always used to know how to floss our teeth, but our dentist taught us how to floss our teeth because it's really good for us to keep our teeth. And we didn't used to know how to drive a car, but we took a class and we were given examples and tests and opportunities to practice, and we learned how to drive a car. And I think emotional health and the ability to get over a big wound emotionally is a life skill that we can be taught. And that's what my book, Unconditional Forgiveness, does. It teaches people exactly how to do it. And you can bring it forward in your life because something specific is hurting. But then you'll find this is something you use the rest of your life.
And I want to come back to the aspect of you using so many examples that people can actually identify with.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel more comfortable doing this because they know that you understand them.
Right. I give them the example of dealing with a difficult day with toddlers, and who doesn't know what kind of a hell that can be. And so I have a story in there about dealing with the day with my toddler grandchildren. And I have a story about my horrible, terrible neighbor who's still next door to me. We've lived next to each other for 30 years, and she's still horrible and terrible, but I'm completely at peace with her. So I think a lot of people have that person in their life. They have that hard day with their family, or they have that annoying person at work or their neighbor. So that's the lighter end of the spectrum. And then I trace the spectrum through increasingly more difficult things like divorce and loss of friendship or illness in the family, and then continuing onward to the outer end of the spectrum where we see real atrocities and tragic, cruel things in human behavior that have to be forgiven too. And so I have a couple stories of those as well.
Right. And one thing I work with in my practice is something called the Human Design System, which is based on birth data, but it uses the I Ching and chakras. It's not astrology. And mm-hmm. It really understands how different we all are.
Yes.
And it's the full spectrum, because the I Ching, the Chinese, it's an ancient book of wisdom, and it uses that, and that holds a full spectrum of good and bad. And we're all born into different traits, and many, many people are born into really bad traits.
Yes.
And that's why everybody is living true to who they're supposed to be in life.
Yes.
And when you look at them and you can't understand them, it's not something that you should understand, because you're different than they are.
That's right. And I think one of the more common difficulties people have around forgiving, and let me just insert here that our working definition of forgiveness is that we are going to release an expectation of someone else that's causing us to suffer. Uh-huh. We have the power to let go of our unrealistic expectations. And we can look around at us, the people around us, and not everyone is as emotionally mature as you. Not everyone has been taught by their families as well as your family taught you about certain things. Not everyone has the same consciousness at all. And in fact, not even everyone is sane. Some people are really struggling with pretty big personality disorders that make them incapable of getting it, the thing you think they should get. So we need to be able to see people for where they're at and see the good in them and have goodwill for them, but then adjust the way that we interact with them so that we're not putting ourselves in harm's way.
And you're not saying that we should continue destructive relationships.
Oh, no. I think you don't forgive and forget. You forgive and remember who people really are.
Right.
You forgive and remember what really happened, what people really do. You don't stay in denial around somebody's problems if they're impacting you again and again. Sometimes we have to forgive and say no, and we have to forgive and get a divorce, or we have to forgive and tell a friend they can't do this certain thing to us anymore. We won't have it. So we forgive and have boundaries, and that is one of the important steps in the 8 steps of freedom.
Right. So it's very grounded. This isn't about forgiving people so they can keep on hurting you.
No. Mm-mm. It's about forgiving people so that you have a good open flow of energy in your body and heart towards everyone, everyone in the universe that you're aware of. But then on a personal, everyday social level, you might need to have some adjustments, which is, you know, I would smile and talk to this person at a party, but I wouldn't tell them an important secret because they're not trustworthy. So you start adjusting your expectations to people to be realistic.
Right. And there's a number of things in these steps that I really appreciate process. And part of it is that it's very active.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, as we said earlier in the show, it's not about lip service.
Right. It's something you do. You make a date with yourself and you do it. You say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take some time this weekend and forgive so-and-so. This is too long. I'm carrying this issue. You take 2 hours out. You tell your best friend, hey, I'm going to do this thing. You want to sit with me or can I call you afterwards and tell you how it went? And then you stick an empty chair out in front of you in a private space with your box of Kleenex next to you, and you just launch into it, and you follow the guidance in the book. And step by step, you do what it says to work an issue out of your system on all of your levels. And at the end, guess what? It always reliably works. It reliably works to change this issue, to dissolve it, and to bring you into peace with it.
That's so amazing what you just said, that it's reliable.
It is. It's reliable. And my teacher, Dr. Edith Stauffer, who trained me in this work 25 years ago, she was a very practical farm lady from Texas who then trained in everything in psychology for many, many years. But she was always at heart a really practical person with a lot of horse sense. And she noticed what it took for people to heal their emotional issues, and she put it together in what she called a recipe. And she says, you know, if you have a good recipe for chili or brownies or something that everyone loves, and it always turns out great, then that is a treasure, and you should share that recipe with everyone you know. Hey, look, here's this great recipe for brownies. It always works. And that's how she felt about her healing method, that it was a reliable recipe that always works. And I have found that to be true. In 22 years of working with other people, I have yet to see it fail.
And in your book, you actually encourage psychologists to use this.
Yes, and we do the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness training. We also teach psychologists and professionals. We do workshops that are full of psychologists and clergy and social workers and nurses and people that work in the mental health field. And they are so happy to get this method into their practice. They're so happy, actually, when we do a demonstration of somebody working through an issue, to see a person work through an issue in 45 minutes instead of 45 weeks. They are open-mouthed. They're sitting there just open-mouthed and delighted because you could actually watch it happen. You could see this pattern leave the person's posture and their energy. And at the end of the forgiveness session, the person is sitting up straighter, they're breathing deeper, their skin tone has changed, their eyes are sparkling. A whole energy thing happens. And I think that is one of the missing pieces in most models of forgiveness, is the energy change.
Well, you're also using a lot of energy during the process.
Yes. We're accessing the transpersonal level, the spiritual level. We're accessing the energy that's available in the soul and in the universe that's always available for every creature to heal and thrive again. So we're working through our issue first on a personality level, getting it sorted out in our determination and our emotions and our mind, and then our energy boundaries, and then opening up to a source of healing energy to really flush this issue clean and also install more of our own soul in our bodies. And so at the end of it, people feel more like themselves than they've ever felt.
I can imagine what your workshops look like. There's so much rage being expressed.
Well, there are some, and sometimes I have had a person punch pillows really hard and push me around the room a little bit, not in a way that hurts me, but just to get that issue out of their space. And that helps when you're dealing with rage or anger to do something physical, to move it out inside you. But there's also very, very subtle, calm, sweet, sessions in which people are, they're not being very dramatic. They're not emotionally vivid people. They're kind of quiet people.
They're explaining themselves.
Yeah, but they're touching that sadness inside, and they're moving it out too. Uh-huh. So it works for people that. We once had a big discussion at a workshop about whether it was necessary to cry hard in order to heal. And, of course, all the women in the room thought, yes, you have to cry. You need to have the Kleenex and the big ugly cry and a lot of, mucus and stuff like that. And that's healing. And the men are like, oh, I don't know. I think I heal myself without crying.
Maybe the men sweat more.
they might sweat more. But then we worked with a man who forgave something pretty intense. And he didn't cry once. But he was truly speaking out of his wounded heart. And at the end of the session, when he was really opening up to the love in the universe and bringing that energy into himself, he really felt all the compassion and support in the room, and one single tear trickled down his face. Mm-hmm. And he had a huge healing. So that was our concluding evidence, was that you don't have to cry hard.
Right.
You just need to really work out of this heart space and take the love in once you move the hurt out.
I would think that for some people, they feel even more relieved if they're forgiving someone in front of an audience. It's almost like, this public statement of how angry they've been.
Yes. Well, there is that element of, we get hurt in community and we can heal in community in a powerful way.
Yeah.
And there is that statement where it's being witnessed. But I also think there's kind of an energy component, which is if you have a circle of 15 people sitting around you and their intention is with you, that you heal and that we all learn about healing, there's an amplified effect of what can happen. So it's one of those things in the workshop where people are very afraid to raise their hand and volunteer, but later on they're so glad they did because it was such a privilege to be able to heal like that with the support of a group.
Have you ever done it as a teleclass?
I have not, and that is a question for me, is how would that work? Because I, as a teacher, I really do very sensitively play off the cues, the subtle cues in the group of how they're doing with their emotional work. And it's a little hard for me to picture doing that with, 20 people out there that I can't see.
Right.
And so I haven't ventured yet. For the first minute, somebody really, intensely wants me to do that, and they want to make all the arrangements. I'll certainly give it a try because I know that we're all connected.
Right.
And it'd probably work. But I'm very fond of seeing the darling people get their healing and having a hug at the end of it.
Right, right. But if everybody had a webcam and you could watch everyone on the screen together, that's the future.
I suppose. Well, I'll try and make friends with it.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a way of reaching more people anyway, but I'm toying with those kinds of ideas myself.
Yes.
So it's just different ways of reaching out. But I'm so glad that you're being out there so much with this work. And now your book, Unconditional Forgiveness, it's a simple and proven method to forgive everyone and everything.
Yes. And it's very easy to get a lot of free information about forgiveness on my website. And it's easy to remember. It's forgivenesstraining.com. ForgivenessTraining.com, and if you go on there, there's lots of free information. The 8 steps are there. There's a video, and if you go, that will link you to YouTube, where there's some more videos that show me working with somebody and kind of a quick review of the 8 steps. So it's pretty easy to get your head around this. But I do hope everyone runs out and gets my book, one for themselves to keep on the shelf for whenever it's needed, and one for the person in your life who is suffering, because we all have someone in our life who's dealing with something. And
sure.
I think it's good to have a loner copy. So I hope that people will look for Unconditional Forgiveness, a simple and proven method to forgive everyone and everything at their bookstore or at Amazon.com at my website.
This is the first time any of my authors have suggested buying 2 books, but I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Experienced tells me this.
Right.
Experience tells
right.
me from my last audiobook about forgiveness, people kept saying, you know, I lent it to my friend, but they wouldn't give it back. They said they still needed it.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you need a loaner copy. We all have someone in our life who's going through something. So you need one for yourself and one that you can loan fearlessly. So
now let's talk about self-forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a hard
one. Most
important issue of all.
Yeah.
And the most difficult. And when it's time to do it, in a way, the most simple. So self-forgiveness is really a critical experience to get acquainted with and to go to whenever you need to. And I have a chapter about that in my book. And it's a little hard to talk about it because it almost sounds simplistic, the things I'm saying. It's one of those things like, well, you kind of have to be there. You kind of have to go there and experience it. But really, the key to it is understanding that when you have the experience of self-forgiveness, part of you accesses a more universal look at human beings and you as a human being. And it sees, your soul sees that, you know, you're fine. You're just fine. You are just a precious child in this universe, and you're learning in the classroom, and you're okay. And you kind of have to have this experience rather than think it, and I hope that people will give themselves permission to experience self-forgiveness, and that's one of the first steps, is to say, you know what, I'm willing to stop beating myself up about this thing. I'm willing to. And start walking close to your soul and to the universe about, please give me this experience, give me this moment of self-forgiveness so I get it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And also, there's a forgiving the larger picture, like forgiving life or forgiving God, you know, those are things that are really obstacles for people as well.
Yes. Sometimes we take it very personally. We take our stories very personally, and we feel like God doesn't care about us, or everyone else gets to have nice stuff, but God doesn't give us nice stuff, or why are we giving these difficult things to deal with? Is there something wrong with me? And it's just a... I had beautiful words of compassion spoken to me one time by a woman who was a midwife after I had my third miscarriage, and I was feeling like, ah, oh, God doesn't like me. Nobody, they don't think I'm going to be a good mother. Why can't I have a baby? And I was just heartbroken, and I talked to this midwife who had herself had a loss, a baby loss, and she was with loss all the time with women, and she smiled at me so caringly, and she said, you know, you're taking this personally. It's not personal. You're experiencing loss because you belong. You belong to life, and life is full of loss. And you are also belonging to this great source of compassion and healing that is there for you in loss. And it was really a shift in perspective for me.
Mm-hmm. I have a situation, just personally, where, and this is using the human design system, I have a trait in my design that's called kindness meanness, and it's the way people project to me. So, so many people are unusually kind to me and friendly and really care about me, and it's amazing how wonderful that is. And then I have almost an equal number of people who resent me, and you know, and it's in my design, so it's like it's not personal. I mean, there's something about me that some people just don't like, and they exhibit it, and you know, and it's like, oh, it's a burden, and yet I know I'm born to have people react to me one way or the other. And so it's not about them.
Right.
They're just part of that pattern. So it's so interesting because it's almost like, well, I don't know how to forgive them because they can't help it. And, you know, this is just me, who I am in the world, and I provoke those things in people. And so I guess it's about self-forgiveness, but I'm born that way.
That's a very mature, self-responsible point of view that you're walking. I really appreciate that, Peter.
Well,
it's really, really a masterful way of framing your experiences.
That's what I like about knowing ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
And then by knowing ourselves better, we also know other people better, too, because we understand that everybody is kind of in their patterns that they're born to, and that other people are born to react to them in that way, too.
Mm-hmm. So you can forgive them because their patterns had an impact on you and it hurt,
right.
And left a bad taste in your mouth. But then you adjust how you relate to them. You adjust if you relate to them, or you adjust what you expect out of them and what you don't.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's all right because we understand that these are patterns that we've come here for. I always say that we live on a very primitive planet.
Mm-hmm.
Our civilization is still wet behind the ears. We haven't evolved. You know, we think we're so wise. But, you know,
yeah,
look around.
I think if you have that point of view, it kind of makes a lot of this human behavior a little bit more forgivable because,
right.
In a way, you're looking at toddlers and preschoolers or you know, teenagers that, you know, they're learning. Their behavior is so annoying and so difficult, and yet they're learning. And that's what human beings are doing, too.
Right. And we learn through adversity. And
mm-hmm.
And so a lot of children and young adults, too, are learning the hard way of how to be good people, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll misbehave. They'll experiment and sometimes become very wise and beautiful people
mm-hmm.
in their growth. So then, you know, to be able to relate to people in a way that says, well, they haven't gotten it yet. Maybe they'll get it soon.
Yeah.
And certainly with your method, it can help bring that along so much faster.
I think so. The method in unconditional forgiveness really brings us to the place of seeing the good in people just as they are. And as I mentioned before, one of my everyday forgiveness stories is my odious neighbor next door, who is, she's kind of like a troll, you know. She just like stumps along in this really crabby, negative way and is just very troll-like. And yet I can admire her perseverance and her persistence in life. She's a very persevering person, and I can admire that she gets a beautiful manicure on her hands, and she puts a pot of flowers out on her steps because those are about beauty, and I'm about beauty too. So even though I can't even have a conversation with her because it just doesn't work, I can admire her because she is persevering as I am, and she is interested in beauty in her way as I am. And I think of those commonalities, even
right.
though we don't really speak or cooperate very much with each other.
And that's part of the method, is no matter how many things are wrong with someone, try to find some things that you can compliment them on, or you can tell other people that this person has this nice trait, even though you hate all their other traits.
Right. Or you can think it to yourself, and then it doesn't right. feel like friction inside you. It feels like a blessing inside you.
Right.
And if you're in a group situation, a family or workplace, yeah, you can spread good rumors about the person. And that's very interesting how it helps start to break up the dynamic of a person who is problematic in a group. It starts getting them out of that rigid corner in people's minds, and something begins to evolve when one
right.
person really practices unconditional love and forgiveness towards another.
It's bringing light to the darkness.
Indeed.
So Mary Hayes Grieco, Grieco, and your book is Unconditional Forgiveness. It's such a pleasure to talk with you about this. And how can people find you again?
They can go to my website, forgivenesstraining.com, where you'll find lots of information. You'll find a schedule of our coming workshops. We've got a workshop coming up. I guess the closest place to the East Coast would be Boston in March 18th, and March 23rd to 25th. We've got a short workshop and a long one. I've got a workshop also here in Minnesota in March, and something in Austin in April. So you can find out how to come and experience this work with me and with a good group on my website. And we also do telephone coaching for people who need some forgiveness help. By phone, we can make arrangements.
This is so wonderful. I love the work you're doing, and I can see how impactful it is. So I want to thank you for doing the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I love the work you're doing, too.
No, thank you.
I think that we're in kindred spirits, and we're both in the business of helping people end their suffering, and I really appreciate that about you, too.
Well, I appreciate that, too. Thanks so much, and thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew.
You're welcome.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Heart River is my website, heartriver.org, and my phone number is 212-222-7748. We have classes and all kinds of direct contact with people to be supportive. So give us a call or email, peter@heartriver.org. Thank you so much for listening.